Blog Talk Radio.
Arms.
Right, shalom, saints to the Most High Yah. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Saints, bless you all. Glad you all can make it this evening on this edition of Blog Talk Radio by way of the Straightway Truth. Let me know how I'm coming in your area. Let me know what the sound is like. Let me get a 10 if it's clear. Let me get a 0 if you can't hear nothing. All right. Keenan said, I'm jamming. I'm jamming on the ones, jamming on the ones and twos. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I got some tens, 10. Glory to the King. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Got the old faithful in the chat room tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Samuel, Brother Robert, Sister Deidre, Brother Dwayne, Sister Jane. Hallelujah. Sakina, Brother Ugly. Bless you, brother. Thank you for all that you do, co-hosting. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Saints are in the building. All right, Saints, we're going to go ahead and get started. Without further ado, looks like we're coming in clear, and I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. As always, it's always an honor and a privilege to be here before you in fellowship on this first day on this edition of the Brother segment. With the Straightway Truth by way of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. So I'm your host, Elder Donnie, this evening, and welcome you all, enemies, friends, and foes alike. Hallelujah. Got my in-house sound check, saying that I'm good. All right. Ready to roll. Hallelujah. But as always, thanks. I honestly do pray for you all and that you're encouraged. Pray for your strength. Pray that, you know, when you're dealing with trials and temptations, that you're able to overcome, that you don't faint in the way, and constantly thinking of you all, no matter where you are, especially my brothers and sisters who are overseas, especially those of you who are by yourselves. You know what I mean? It's just you and your family, or it's just you, single man or single woman. Hallelujah. But just that, you know, you be encouraged, and that, you know, even throughout the work week, if any one of you come across my mind, or any of you come across a situation that I'm dealing with, even if I deal with a situation, and I pray that if any of my brothers or sisters dealing with something like this, give them the strength, Father, to go through this. You know, so just constantly keeping the saints on my mind. But yeah, it's good. It truly is, man. And I'm thankful to be in the land of the living, thankful to be clothed in my right frame of mind. You know what I mean? And I'm just thankful for everything that the Father's doing. You know, so. Glory, hallelujah. As I always like to start off reading from Psalms 19, starting at verse 7. And today I'm going to read from the Scriptures version. And it says, the Torah of Yahweh is perfect, bringing back the being. The witness of Yahweh is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The orders of Yahweh are straight, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, standing forever. The right rulings of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. More desirable than gold, than much fine gold, and sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Also, your servant is born by them. In guarding them, there is great reward. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the mind of Yah, nothing like the ways of Yah. Hallelujah. And nothing like his people when they would obey, you know what I mean, and did what he commanded them to do. How prosperous were they? What a people, what a nation, what a strong and mighty nation. And that's what we're striving to be, and that's what we all should be desiring to be. A righteous and a holy nation. You know what I mean? A royal priesthood. That's what we should be striving for, Israel, in this last day. Hallelujah. And being examples, being that light unto this world. Hallelujah. There's so many folk out there that don't even believe in the Most High, believe in the high, supreme deity. But we know for sure that he's real. We know that he's real in us, and we know that he's shown himself to us. Hallelujah. So we are not without hope, but yet we are, you know, the children of Yah. Glory to the King. And you should be proud of that. You should really be proud of who you are, your heritage, and embracing it even the more so. And like Elder Mitch was speaking about yesterday, you know, we need to embrace that, this culture, this way, this heritage, this covenant above all, above anything else, no matter where you come from, what your previous nationality was or who your people were, that's irrelevant. You know what I mean? None of that stuff is going to inherit the kingdom. None of it. So we need to be connected in the spirit. You know what I mean? We walk too much in the flesh and we reap the destruction of the flesh. And thus we can't even get away from it. We can't even separate ourselves from the flesh to do the will of the Father because we're so inundated with it. We are just so full of it, the garbage and the mess that we've gotten, that we picked up and that we've learned from this this wicked world, these wicked nations around us. So it's high time that we divest ourselves of all ungodliness and anything that's contrary to the will of Yah. Hallelujah. So I'm just thankful. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited to be Israel. I'm happy to know who I am. Glory to the King. And who else would I want to be other than that of the child of the Most High Yah, the one and only sovereign? You know what I mean? The Elohim of Israel, the Elohim of the Hebrews. You know what I mean? There's no other. None. No matter what people tell you, no matter what you can conjure up in your mind and think and believe with reasoning and philosophy and in your opinion, it doesn't stand up against the Most High. Hallelujah. So Yah be praised, and everything else is just trash. It's garbage. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. But I wanted to ask you a question real quick before I go any further. You know, saints, are you really trusting in Yah? Are you fainting in the way? Are you patiently waiting? Or when trials come, or when persecution comes, are you folding? Are you giving up? Are you just laying down? Are you actively fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life? That's a good question to ask, you know, because a lot of times we talk a good game, but when it comes down to living it and doing it, or we're in that moment of a test, what do we do? I'm going to read a couple of things here. Let's see where we at. Read a couple of things here. Just came to me. Here we go. I'm going to go to Luke first, Luke 18. Starting at verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not Yah, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not Yah, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Yah said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not Yah avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's a good question. Shall he find faith? And you look no further, look at no other person, but think of yourself. Will he find faith in you? Will you be found faithful? Will you be found standing? Can you trust in Yah to do what he said he's going to do? Can you just be of a good courage in doing so? Can you wait patiently on him and fear not? Can you be steadfast in the way, steadfast in praying, steadfast in studying of your word and fasting and having a hope for a great outcome or expectation that the Father will take care of you, that he will come to your rescue? Do you not realize the power that you have? I'm going to go to Psalms 27 here. All right, Psalms 27. I'm going to start at verse 1 here. Yahweh is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Yahweh, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Yahweh, of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. Hallelujah. Man, there's a lot that's going on, a lot that's been said here. You know, and I asked the question, you know, will Yah find faith when he come, huh? Will he find you waiting patiently? Will you be of a good courage? Do you have enough hope and belief in the Father to rejoice, to know that even before, you know, you go through a trial or you go through a hardship, that he's going to come through for you? Are you rejoicing? Are you giving him the praise? Are you looking past whatever mountain, whatever's in front of you? Are you holding on? Are you keeping the faith? Are you trusting in Yah? Hallelujah. The word, it tells us to wait on him. Hallelujah. And be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we get impatient, you know, when things don't go the way we think that they should go. We don't want to really see things through, you know what I mean, the way that Yah is trying to work in our lives. You know, we're so quick. We want things right at our hand, right at our fingertips. We miss the lesson that we need to learn from going through, you know what I mean, whatever test or whatever trial, whatever the case is. You know, whatever obstacle, we don't want to wait. We don't want to trust and believe in Yah. I got one more here. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to go 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. And this came to me right before, you know what I mean, right before the show, just to, you know, read these verses to you. Verse 16 says, For which cause we faint not? For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Hallelujah. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah, saints. So the encouragement here is, man, saints, is just to keep, just stay encouraged, man. Stay focused. Hallelujah. Looking at the thing that's coming, that we're looking to reign and rule with the Father. Hallelujah. Don't look at the things that's going on right now in your life. You know what I mean? They mean nothing. If anything, they're here to strengthen you. Hallelujah, to build your faith, to build your trust in the Father. Hallelujah. So let's keep our hearts and our minds focused on the goal. Hallelujah, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. But y'all already know where we at. For us, this is not our time of rejoicing as far as our feast, feasting with the Father. We rejoice all the time, but, you know, this is a time for us. It's a good time for us to prepare ourselves for, you know, the feast of Yah, so that when we come before Him, as He commanded us to, that we come before Him clean. You know, that we've been purging these temples, cleansing these temples of all garbage and mess. Hallelujah. And I say that's one of the things I focus on during this dead season as I get before you here on the brother segment, and just talk about, you know, deliverance, talk about spiritual warfare, talk about the fight, you know, because the fight is real, and we all deal with things. Just talking to brethren, you see how that, you know, there's nothing that which is uncommon. I mean, we all deal with the same issues, if you will, you know what I mean? So, you know, the fight is real. It really is. So this is the perfect time to start dealing with these things and being real and being upfront, you know, with ourselves. We already know that the enemy is real, all right? And especially when you prepare yourself to come this way, he's going to definitely give you a fight. There's going to be some opposition. It ain't going to be, you know, all peaches all the time, you know. You're going to have to literally war. You know, the one thing about this hill walk, this hill particular ministry that we're in, you know, it's not all about dressing up, you know, looking good, wearing your all white with your fringes, you know what I mean, and looking the part, looking like you holy. But it's deeper than that. It goes way beyond, you know, the appearance, which man can see, because we already know that the Father, He searches the heart. He searches the reins and the depths thereof, and there's no thought that escaped Him. So we can't hide. You know, we can look good on the outside and all polished and clean, but on the inside it's filth, it's garbage, it's a dump. But, you know, this ministry is a little bit different. You know, we tackle things and go after things and get personal, you know what I mean? Because it's all about, at the end of the day, you know, you being tried in the fire, you getting clean, you getting, you know what I mean? So you can have a great testimony, you know? So we deal with things that many folk don't want to touch, you know what I mean? Like deliverance. Many people don't even want to deal with it. Or they'll call us Christians all day. But hey, you know, we're getting ourselves right. You know, we're taking advantage of this opportunity. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do. Take advantage of the time that you have now. Hallelujah. Search, deeply search what it is in you. You know what I mean? It may not come from you, but search your family line. You know, ask the Father, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it unto you. Because this stuff there is definitely some junk there that needs to be some sin and transgression, some things that you can't even control. We realize we don't even wonder why we can't stop doing a particular thing. We wonder why our children are dealing with certain things and where they picked that up from. I've never taught them that. But you got to go back to the family line. You got to break them curses. You got to deal with these things. It's convenient to just sit back and, you know, not fight. It's convenient to hear the word and feel good and feel empowered and feel, you know, motivated. But then what happens afterwards? You know what I mean? You're still tempted. You're still tormented. You're still being driven by things that you can't even control, even because you want to do well, but you can't because of the sin that lies in your flesh. So that's why it's so important that we, you know, we do the things we need to do. Self-evaluations, you know, examining ourselves, you know, figuring out what it is we need to change about ourselves. Because I can tell you for a fact that I know a few things right off the hand that I need to work on myself. And I'm actively doing those things. I mean, you know what I mean? We can't wait until we mess up and we get to the point where we're about to boil over and we just can't take it no more. And we feel like everything is just coming down upon us. No, it's because you know, you topped off with demons. You need to get set free. Hallelujah. So let's use this time that we have, whatever, however much time the Father gives us. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in a few hours. But let's be mindful of that and take advantage of it. So like I was saying, you know, in other ministries, they don't get the luxury. And these camps out here, I mean, they look good. They sound good. Sound like they got it going on. But they won't dig deep. You know what I mean? Won't dig deep to find out, you know, and fight against the real devil. You know what I mean? That's lying right within them. I remember the first time I ever experienced a deliverance session going on. I had no clue what it was. And I was a young child, actually, in the Christian church. And I was at one of these big conferences. And it was at this big arena. And, I mean, there was people all over the place. But I heard, you know, as a child, I walked past it. And I saw this person on the ground just, you know, squirming and moving all around and, you know, foaming at the mouth and all this going on. And one of my aunts, she was like, yeah, that person is possessed with a demon. You know, they had all these people around praying, trying to, you know, get us set free. And I remember from that, I was intrigued by that. I had never seen it again, that particular manifestation. And I always wanted to know, like, I want to know what to do if ever something like that happened. It really troubled me as a child, like, because I didn't know, you know what I mean? And here I am now. So many years later, you know, the Father brought me this way, and it's not a mystery anymore. But, you know, the very first time I made it straightway, and I think it was 2011, I had opportunity to partake, you know, to my first deliverance session. You know, I noticed one thing about it. I noticed a lot of, you know, people that were there. You know, they were all good when it was time to do the range day, to do all of the training. You know, they were good when it was time to get baptized. It was good when it was, you know, when it was time to eat. You know, everybody was there. But it was a certain fear that came about when it was time for deliverance, mass deliverance. You know, all of a sudden, many people had things to do, or they had to get back home, or they had to do this or do that. You know, and the crowd got really slim. You know, and now looking at it, I realize what it is. You know, people just don't want to deal with it, what they would call the unknown, or even put up with it. Because see what goes on, you already know, when it's time for mass deliverance or deliverance, you know how those demons get stirred up. You know they got to go. You know, that's if you want them to go. But it's real like that, saints, and many of you know that is real. But the encouragement is just for you to be active in it, you know what I mean, doing what you can do to get yourself free. Of any type of thing that's hindering you from growing, anything that's keeping you back, Hallelujah. From growing spiritually. All right. So deliverance. All right. Let's say we didn't even know. Let's say we didn't even have a clue, an idea of what it was all about. You know, deliverance, the process of expelling demons. All right. That's deliverance. It's the purging of unclean spirits from our lives. All right. Deliverance for us believers in the Most High, it should be a very vital part. And if any of you that are serious about this, yeah, it should be a part of your life. It should be a huge part of it. We must use this time, as I said earlier, to prepare for the coming of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And we look at different things like legal rights. We look at different grounds that the Hasatan has to keep us tormented. Satan cannot torment without a right established by Yah. He knows every legal right Yah gives him and will absolutely refuse to leave if those rights remain. In order to cast out demons, you need to destroy Satan's legal rights. Even if one receives deliverance and the legal rights remain, then demons promptly enter in again. Legal rights are sometimes called curses. Ultimately, you must get to the root of the problem and break all legal grounds so that the enemy can no longer have authority to torment you. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we break the curses off our lives. And as I was saying earlier, you never know what was going on or what your forefathers have done. You know, my son did something the other day. Now, I wasn't in the room when he did it, but I could actually hear. I heard him laugh, and it was a laugh that I had never heard. And it sounded like something that wasn't right. It just sounded wicked, you know. And he had did something to his sister. And, you know, I found out what he did, and I was talking to my wife, and I was like, you know, well, that's just something that boys do. You know what I'm saying? Little boys do little stupid stuff to their sisters or when they're around other little boys. You know, they do stuff. They try to be funny and stuff like that. My wife was just saying, you know, no, you got to really think about that and look at it. It's a little deeper than that. You know what I mean? So we got to really know and make that distinction between when things are natural and when they're spiritual. You know, my wife made a good point. She was like, well, you don't teach them to do stuff like that, or, you know, that's just not the thing that, you know, boys do. You know, you can't look at it like that. And, you know, when I thought about it a little bit deeper, I had to come to terms with myself. And it put me on Front Street. I'm like, oh, okay, so what are some things that I did? What are some things I partook in, you know, when I was growing up? Or my dad or his dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to really think about that and not just downplay it because it came right back up on me. And see, that's what it's all about, getting to the root of the whole thing. Can't break the curses. You can't do that unless you get to the bottom of it. You know what I mean? You got to be real and truthful with yourself. So that's just something that I was dealing with. You know what I mean? And I had to really come to terms with it. You know what I mean? And I had to immediately, you know, go after it, because not only do I have one boy, I have two more boys. Hallelujah! I'm sure many of you heard. But I definitely can't play around with different things like that and think, oh, nah, that's just what boys do. Hell no. Something else is going on. Something a little deeper is happening there. Hallelujah. But we got to definitely be on it. Definitely be on it. As I talked before, a few weeks ago, I was talking about, you know, slothfulness. I was talking about that slow, slack spirit, which can hinder us. And cause us not to really, you know, serve the Father in the way in which we should. And also I talked about how, you know, many of us who've been around in this way, it's a lack of hunger going on. You know, Pastor brought that out and spoke to us about it, and I always talk about it, you know, but many of us who've been around for whatever reason, it could be lack of motivation, just become really lukewarm in this thing, which is a dangerous place to be. And I'll just talk briefly about, you know, slothfulness here, just briefly. And I'll recap some of the things from last time, in which we talked about how, you know, even if you are, let's say you are a person that works really hard, you really get after it, you know, and you've shown yourself to be diligent, you know, you still, even you have to be maintained and not be caught off guard. You know, and I use the example of King David and how he was caught off guard. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he just wanted to rest, or he didn't want to go to battle when it was time for kings to be at battle, you know, for whatever the reason was, you know. So we have to always be, you know, y'all knows when we need to rest, and we'll get that rest, but we got to be laboring. Hallelujah. So, and another thing I kept saying on that last broadcast, too, is that I realized firsthand that the things I'm telling you, they pertain unto me first. Hallelujah. And I'm not ignorant to that. But all of this is an effort to get to the root of things that are going on with even myself. Hallelujah. And I wanted to bring this forth and share it with you as well. So we already know that there has to be there's something going on, you know, that's causing us to have a lack of thirst, a lack of hunger after righteousness. You know, there's actually a hindering spirit, an interference. And there's one thing, a key point that we need to remember is that it's Yeshua, it's Jesus' blood that will forgive, cleanse, and make us whole again. We got to remember that, not feel condemned and not thinking that we can't get free, all right? But we have to rely on that blood for its cleansing power. Another key point I brought out is that you will not receive deliverance. You will not be set free from evil spirits to satisfy your own lust or to make you comfortable. Some of you might be dealing with things that are tormenting you, but you just want to get free just for the sake of getting free, not to do any work, not to do anything to build up the kingdom. And that's not going to happen. It's got to be settled in your heart, you know, that you're trying to be free. Hallelujah, to do Yah's will and not your own. To serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also I said, we need to seek deliverance often and not only in times of trouble. Different things that can hinder us from being set free, from being delivered. Sins of the Father, as we've been talking about. Rebellion also can hinder us. And you know about our rebellious nation as a rebellious nature, I should say. Yeah, as a people. Another is unbelief, believe it or not. And also self, which is very important. Because a lot of us, you know, fail to crucify that old man. And that's definitely a hindrance to being set free and being delivered. Hallelujah. Where we at here? Let's see. Another thing we need to remember too, saints, some things are natural, some things are spiritual, but we got to be able to differentiate, all right? Some of the problems we have, they're spiritual, and they are a result of bad habits and patterns that must be changed. Also areas of the carnal man that need to be crucified. So in other words, you have to fight some battles on your own in order to maintain the deliverance. You know, after you get set free of a particular spirit, you know what I mean? It's now it's on you. Burden of proof is on you not to go back down that same road and entertain that same those same temptations and urges and things like that. It requires work. You know, go and sin no more. Yeshua said, right? So those are the things we got to do. It's very important to make the difference between flesh and spirit. Also, it's very important to do the groundwork before you sit in the deliverance chair. You know, it's not the job of the deliverance worker to do all of the work, all right, to figure out what's tormenting you and what's causing, you know, grief in your life. You must do the work ahead of time, you know. And a lot of times we want a quick fix. We want to just, you know, get in the chair. I need some deliverance. You need to do some work, man. You need to get it right with the Father. You need to, you know, pray. You need to fast. You need to do some things ahead of time. It's not that easy, you know. And a lot of times we don't like the war. We don't like to fight. Fight again, you know. casting down thoughts and imaginations and all those things. You know, we like to just, you know, want a quick fix and have it done with. Let me read something real quick here. Going back to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10. Just a second. All right. Tell you what, man, there's always something. Damn computers here. I had one of them, man, I've had this thing for, 14 years, but it's time for it to go. It's like it conked out on me, so doing everything on the fly here. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 10. All right, I started verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Hallelujah. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we got to remember that too, saints. The things that we deal with, they are not fleshly. Hallelujah. And you know, I said it earlier, we walk too much in the flesh. So we're blinded to know, so we can't see what's going on, what's really happening. We're not sensitive to the spirit. Walking too much after this carnal man, this carnal mind, the things that we can see, which, I mean, it's there and it's present, but there's a world that's out there, a big world and a lot going on in that spiritual realm. And we cannot tap into it, hallelujah, being in the flesh all the time, not spending time with the Father. Romans 6. Here we go, Romans 6. All right. 6 and 12. It says, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. If you have demons and you fail to pursue after them, you are deceived. Saints, we ought to aggressively seek freedom from any demonic bondage. If a particular spirit has been revealed to you, chase after it, and don't stop until you have the victory." All right, a few characteristics of slothfulness would be lethargic in performing all tasks, and a person that is constantly tired and seeking rest. He is a fearful person, a very irritating person to be around. He thinks he's smart because he is always on the lookout for the easiest way to do something. He or she does not like to exert himself or give of himself. There is no reasoning with this person. He comes up with many excuses to justify the errors of his ways. He's plagued with excuses. If we look at Proverbs 20 and 4, it says, Proverbs 20 and 4, it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Because he got all these excuses, you know what I mean, no wondering why he can't work this, it's too cold, or it's that, or I don't have the proper this or that. And he's going to suffer for it. Also, Proverbs 26 and 12, it says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. See, this man, he's wise in his own conceit, all right? There's no hope, none whatsoever. Let's look at this slothful spirit is also associated with sleep, a state of inactivity and a suspension of consciousness. Thus, a person is not being sober or watching and can be easily succumbed by the enemy. We look at Mark 14 and 38. It says, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Romans 13 and 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Master Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hallelujah. So the flesh, man, it always leads you down the wrong road. It always leads you to excuses. Always leads you to, you know, the easy way. Let's look at Revelations real quick. Revelation 3:15, talking about that lukewarm person. And it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich. Listen to this. This person says he's rich and he's increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and the ointment, and anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. That's a dangerous spot to be in, a lukewarm person, because you don't realize the danger. You know what I'm saying? He can't see. He's blinded. All right? Blinded by his own, you know, sin, and blinded by the things in which he thinks he has. Hallelujah. But we should always seek to Yah. Always. For our strength, realizing that it comes from Yah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take a break real quick and be right back here. So just hang tight. All right? We'll do a ministry break. Let's see. Come right back. All right?
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled Lafayette, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there. Be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Shalom. The King is coming. Glory, glory, glory. Just want to read a couple of things real quickly here. Just about offerings. All right. Because it's very important for us to give. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna read this. This is from the Apocrypha, all right? From Ecclesiastes, Sirach. Just switching gears here real quickly, saints. And I'm gonna go off into something else. But this is it says, he that keepeth the law bringeth offering enough. He that taketh heed to the commandment offereth a peace offering. And it says, he that requireth a good turn, he that requireth a good turn offereth fine flour. And he that giveth alms sacrifice praise. To depart from wickedness is a thing pleasing to Yahweh, and to forsake unrighteousness is a propitiation. Thou shalt not appear empty before Yahweh. All these things are to be done because of the commandment. The offering of the righteous maketh the altar fat, and the sweet savor thereof is before the Most High. The sacrifice of a just man is acceptable, and the memorial thereof shall never be forgotten. Give Yahweh his honor with a good eye, and diminish not the first fruits of thine hands. In all thy gifts, show a cheerful countenance, and dedicate thy tithes with gladness. Give unto the Most High according as he hath enriched you, and as thou hast gotten, give with a cheerful eye. Hallelujah. Another thing in here that I saw that was real important, and I thought, you know, that should have, you know, especially dealing with different things, and this particular one is talking about sickness or you're dealing with any type of thing. This is Sirach as well, 38, starting verse 9. It says, my son, in thy sickness, be not negligent, but pray unto Yahweh, and he will make you whole. Leave off from sin, and order thine hands aright, and cleanse thy heart from all wickedness. Give a sweet savor and a memorial of fine flour, and make a fat offering as not being. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. We see how important it is to give. Hallelujah. To give not only of our substance. Hallelujah. It's also good to give of ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I remember also when Pastor was preaching this past summer, and he was telling us about how important it is, you know, to give an offering, especially when you're seeking to be delivered, you need healing. So that offering is just like you going to Yah and say, hey, Yah, you know what? I am guilty. Have grace. Have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. So always have that offering and have something to give unto the Father. Hallelujah. I wanted to switch gears here, Saints, on this segment of the show and talk to you just briefly, just as a request from a brother, because he asked if I would share, just share some things with him as far as the birth of my sons, right? Because his brother, Brother Ray, who lives in Sweden, lives in another country there, he wanted to know, you know, how did everything go, the process, and just everything leading up to the birth. And I said, I told him I would do it, and I figured, hey, Blog Talk would be, you know, the best way to do it. I thought I'd be on next week, but I said, hey, since I'm here today, I'll go ahead and talk about it. And what I did was I jotted down some notes throughout the week, different things that came to mind. And they're not in no particular order whatsoever, but I'm going to just read just a couple things. Let me find it real quick. But as many of you may know, I was blessed with twin boys on last week. Yah provided and made a way two healthy boys. Hallelujah. I named them Yisrael Rufus Webster, after my beloved friend, Elder Rufus. I put his name, named one of them after that. And also, the other son, his name is Yehuda. Yehuda Maccabees Webster. So you got Israel and Judah. Israel and Yehuda. Hallelujah. So I'm blessed, truly blessed. My wife is doing well at this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And we're just thankful. Hallelujah, that everything went as well as it did. But the one thing I would say is, we had to operate in faith because, you know, we were just solely dependent on the Father. And a lot of it, too, was built up from just past experience as far as, you know, with the Father, what we went through and with the birth of our son, yourself, the home birth. And, you know, it was a really joyous occasion. I had a feeling early on that it would be twins. You know what I mean? And don't ask me why, I just did. And I even voiced it, you know, to certain people and told them that I thought it was twins. My wife as well. One of the things that I did do, because this is one of the things that the brother asked me, he wanted to know, was that, like, what the preparation was. What did I do prior, you know, the months leading up to the birth? And one of the things that I did do was fast a lot. I would pick one day, and sometimes I pick 2 days that I would fast specifically for that, you know what I'm saying, for the birth, that everything would go well. We got to just face it, you know what I mean? Lots of times, we don't like the fact that, you know, we bring these Israelite children into the world, and we're doing it not under their terms. And they just don't like that. So I had to fast specifically for the birth, you know, that it would be a smooth home birth and speedy. That's one of the things that I prayed, that it would be speedy and it you know, wouldn't last, you know, 3 and 4 days. And I was blessed in that aspect because it was very short. I mean, the labor was, I said 7 hours, but 7 hours active labor. And that was pretty much, you know, the babies were coming out at that point. Another thing that I did early on was, we did this with my son yourself as well, was give a praise offering in advance, you know, just thanking the Father for all of the things that I've been praying for, all of the things I've been asking for, just giving y'all praise in advance, you know, looking ahead of everything, just giving joy and, I mean praise to the Father. Another thing, not relying on worldly knowledge. See, in the past, you know, especially with the last birth, I mean, our faith was just planted in books. We were trying to find out, you know, every single thing, every single scenario, everything that was supposed to go on, this and that and this and that. But this particular time, I chose not to go that route. And I remember particularly, Rebecca sent a message, and he said, you know, because we were having complications with the first one, first birth. I'm speaking about my yourself, all right? When I'm saying that and get the experience from that, that's what I'm talking about. And we were perplexed, man, because we had all these books and we was looking at everything, and it brought about a lot of fear. You know what I mean? Because it was like, if this happens, and the woman could do this, she could hemorrhage, and this can. And there were so many different things going on. So it was like, you know what? I said, this time I'm not going to be relying on these worldly books and not and their knowledge, but I'm going to just be led by the Spirit. And it was another thing, too, keeping an environment healthy and conducive to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit was key and critical. And another key thing, too, was just having the right people around. You know, people that were believers and the people that will war and fight, which we had a very good, we were blessed to have the saints, sisters from Straightway, who had some experience and who was just really had a willing heart and was there for us. You know what I mean? We had Sister Carolina was there. We had Sister Vicky and also Sister Lisa. They were helping out. And they really did a wonderful job. I mean, the atmosphere stayed positive the whole time. I mean, and these sisters were warring. And they were fighting the entire time. You know, they kept a beautiful spirit, you know what I mean, in the atmosphere. I didn't have to worry if I walk away or if doubts don't enter in or nothing like that went on. So I was blessed to have those sisters. Also, I had, you know, the James family who we were here on the land with, and they were just so supportive of us. Whatever we needed, bam, it was there. It was taken care of. So the whole environment was beautiful, and it was set for this. And I'm going to tell you, you know, when the first baby did come out, it was so fast. You know, it happened so quick. And we saw, what was it? We saw something that we thought was the placenta coming up. And shortly after we saw this this thing coming out, we saw a leg. And I was like, oh, my goodness. That's another child in there. So the second birth was breached, and the child came out, you know, his feet first. But nonetheless, we got him out in no time. He came out, and it was just all blown away. But the thing about it, even at that, you know, everybody was still at peace, and you know, it wasn't like all stirred up. You know, we were just more anxious and excited more than anything to get the baby out. Hallelujah. So it was a true surprise, a joyous thing. Glory to the King. Another thing, as I mentioned, just going over different things that came to mind, things that that went on, things that I did leading up to it. Another thing that was critical during the whole process was constantly praising during the labor, the active labor, constantly praising. No matter what went on, we kept praising. You know, we'd get, you know, triumphs, and then we'd get certain things that was delayed. And then we had to keep praising. We're not finished yet. Keep praising. And that was the whole, that was something that went on constantly. Also, I noticed that the more we praised, the Father gave my wife more strength, as well as myself. You know what I mean? Because it was stressful. It could be a stressful situation, and it, you know, at times it was. But the more we praise, the more strength that we got. Hallelujah. 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 Also, another thing that I put on here was that it's important to have all of the supplies and tools, you know, necessary on hand. Hallelujah. So, you know, we were able to have all of the different things on hand. And, you know, that made it really easy as well. Because we didn't have to be looking for stuff. We had to be, you know, running around trying to find different things. Also, you know, one thing that happened too that was really strange is when the boys did come out, you know, they were you know, being cleaned off and everything. The weirdest thing happened, like the lights started flickering. You know what I mean? Started flickering for no apparent reason. You know what I mean? They were fine just right before that, but once they came out, it just was flickering. So we had to just pray against, you know, any type of whatever, demonic force, anybody speaking the evil of us. And we prayed, you know, because then that was another reason. It started to get really cold in the house because, I mean, we had no electricity, you know, because for whatever reason, But we got everything working again eventually. But that's why I say we had to continue praising. Every time we would have a triumph, we'd have something that go on that would kind of keep us grounded. You know what I mean? It's not over yet. We need to keep going. But very important. That's why it was important to have the people that we had there with us to keep us that, you know, they were right along with us in one heart, one mind. Glory to the King. I'm not boring y'all with this. I'm just doing this as a request of a brother. Maybe something I say may help someone. You know what I mean? It may be of help. But like I said, yeah, we had to keep the atmosphere positive, free from any fear, doubt, any unbelief. And the whole idea was to be led by the Spirit on this one. You know what I mean? And just trusting and believing. See, the first birth we did at home, I had Pastor Dow come over and pray. It's just not knowing it, being inexperienced, just wasn't waiting, you know, wasn't being patient, and wanted it to happen really fast, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't happen like that, you know, all the time. But just blessed from it all. And I know even now I'm still praying for even sisters that are, you know, with child, that they, you know, be protected, and that the men are covering their houses, and that these sisters have, you know, speedy home births, and we don't have any issues and complications and things like that. That these Israelite children, you know, come into the world beautifully, you know, and it'd be a joyous occasion all the way around. So those are a few things that I jotted down. If anything else come up again, I'll talk about it at another time. But those are the things that I did. And I noticed that, you know, just giving that praise, you know, is key. I remember when in the book, in the Bible, where Hannah, you know, she couldn't have a child. She was barren. And I remember what her and her husband did. You know what I mean? They, you know, they made their supplication known to the Father. But one of the things they did, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And then, you know, Elkanah, he went in and he went into his wife, and she had, you know, she was able to conceive. You know what I mean? And I took that from that early on, and is that praise, that worship ahead of time, and giving thanks to the Father, believing him and trusting him that, you know, he's going to see us through. So that's another key thing that I did. Hallelujah. I just wanted to say thanks for all the help from all of Straightway. All the saints abroad who sent out your greetings and your kind words and congratulations and everything and your gifts, support and all of that. I'm thankful for it. Hallelujah, because it's all needed and it's much appreciated. Glory to the King. So just wanted to do that real quickly and just talk about that, because brother asked about that. And I'm sure, you know, this brother Hinta, he did it all on his own, didn't have any help, being in a whole other country. You know, just trusting in the Father, which is how it should be. Glory to the King. So I'm glad that I was able to, you know, share that with y'all. And I'm so thankful that the Father was merciful unto me and blessed me. Hallelujah. So glory to the King. Hallelujah. But, you know, saints, that's pretty much what I got for this evening. You know, be the Father's will. Next time we'll go deeper into some stuff, some deliverance, and because, you know, it's necessary. I figured, you know, spend this time during this dead season to go over spiritual warfare and just making sure that, just keeping it on the saints' mind. You know, those who come this way on Thursday, because it's critical. It really is, and you get caught up in so much, you know, of just everyday life and things going on that we don't like to. You know, we get sidetracked of what's really important and what's really going on, which is that spiritual battle that's going on. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you all to stay encouraged. Hallelujah. Stay in the fight. Stay in the way. Hallelujah. You're in the right way. You know, and be of a good courage. Hallelujah. And that stayed in my mind. Like I said, that came to me right before I got on the air. So I jotted that down and I said, I'll read it. But it's something that the Father wants us to do, you know what I mean, to wait on him. He wants us to be of a good courage, you know what I mean, and have patience, and not just profess these things out of our mouth, You know what I mean? And when time comes to believe in him, how are we going to react? Are we going to react or are we going to respond? You know what I mean? So definitely wait on Yahweh. Glory to the King. And you know, we got to be to the point where we wait on him, to the point where even if we don't even, you know, the outcome, if it's not the outcome that we want or the outcome we expect, whatever it is, thank you, Father. Thank you if you never do another thing for us. Hallelujah. So, you know, he's been good and he's faithful. And he wants us to trust in him even the more so, saints, and believe in him as we go further. So you keep that in mind. Keep that in your heart as we go further on these next upcoming weeks, next upcoming months and things like that until we meet again, the feast. Stay encouraged, saints. Don't be all with all this doom and gloom and, you know, thinking, oh, it's a dead season, da da da. Yeah, shit happens. It's real. It's so real. You know what I mean? And we in the midst of it. But don't allow Satan to submit thoughts to your mind telling you you ain't nothing or that you don't, you know, whatever he submits to your mind, whatever thoughts, whatever thing that he tries to get you with, cast that shit down. Because, I mean, that's all it is. It's a thought. And you know one thing, if it's not of peace, then it's not of Yah. So don't sit there and entertain that crap. So, yeah, we need each other, saints. We can't do this alone. So I encourage you to reach out to your brother, reach out to your sister, encourage them. You know what I mean? If they cross your mind, pray for them. You know what I mean? If you let them call them, call them. Do it. And don't be waiting, you know, because we try to rationalize. And, oh, well, if I call them not in, really don't want to talk. Oh, I'm doing something. I'm busy right now. I'll hit them up later. You know what I found out? That later, it really never comes. Because if you don't do it while it's on your mind, you're going to forget. Because there's so many different things that are going on in life that you're trying to keep up with, you're going to forget. So you just never know. Just a phone call, it might be enough just to brighten their day. That might be what it takes. You know what? Just to hear your voice, brother. Just to hear your voice, sister. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. It's so encouraging. So y'all be encouraged, saints. Y'all trust in the Father. Lean not to your own understanding. Hallelujah. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless y'all, saints. Y'all be encouraged, all right? It's Elder Donnie here signing off from this edition of the Brother Segment on Blog Talk Radio. Glory to the King. Bless you all. Shalom. Shalom.